Life Audio.
Welcome to Christian Natural Health with naturopathic Dr. Lauren DeVille. Christian Natural Health is the podcast on how to get and stay healthy, God's way. You'll hear topics on nutrition, exercise, sleep, avoiding toxicity, meditating on scripture, what supplements to take, stress management, defeating anxiety and worry, how to reconcile Eastern medicine approaches with Christianity, and a whole lot more. Now, here's your host, Dr. Lauren.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Welcome back to another episode of Christian Natural Health. Today, I am thrilled to have Paul Harding with us. Paul is the owner of Total EMF Solutions in Tucson, Arizona. Total EMF Solutions started as a personal journey and a fight for his life. He experienced a complete breakdown in his sleep after a smart meter was installed on his bedroom wall in the beginning of 2011. After further research, he found that smart meters produced frequencies on the home wiring and electric field that correlated with those that are used to open the sodium and potassium ion channels in the body. His symptoms began to abate once he started sleeping in an area with very low levels of exposure. Once he found relief, his life focus became studying the source of the problem. Welcome, Paul. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me, Lauren.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so let's dig into your personal story a little more. So, you know, some people hopefully can't identify, but maybe can. So what was the story there? Was it, I assume it was on the outside of the bedroom, right? Not, they didn't do it inside.
Right. Okay. It was a Saturday morning. Okay. I'll never forget the day. A utility guy came up to the door and knocked on. I didn't answer it because it was early Saturday morning and I wasn't ready for any visitors. The power went off. The power came back on, and a little pamphlet was left on the door.
Yeah.
And it said, you know, we installed the smart meter. And it had little glasses and it was smiling. And I thought, oh, great. You know, whatever. So I looked at it real quick and sure. I went on my day, right? Said that it was going to save me money. So that night I woke up at 3:12 a.m. and it was an instant wake up. It just like from 0 to 100 in a split second, right? My heart's pounding. I had energy. I went out to the kitchen because I didn't keep a clock in my bedroom.
Right.
And I normally slept through the night. It was actually difficult for me to get up in the morning. Okay. So it was unusual. I could sleep 8, 9, 10 hours, no problem. Okay. And I was never rested. I would have to take a couple of naps to get through the day. And that's been throughout my life. So waking up at that time was weird. Mm-hmm. So the day went on. Didn't think anything of it. Went to bed that night. The next night, this was a Sunday night now. At 11 o'clock at night, I woke up again at the same time. And I went out to the living room and I sat down and I looked at a pamphlet and I looked at that smart meter and something told me, it was God, right?
Yeah.
Look up smart meter sleep problems. And I did. And I found all these people in California having the same issues.
Right.
Insomnia was part of it. Yeah. And I thought, no way. Because I was a tech guy, right? I had the I had the wireless. I had the wireless modem on my laptop. I've had a cell phone since the 90s. You know, I had the big brick one. You know, and I had the other. As generations became better, the phones became better. I had the latest and greatest. I had the BlackBerry and I had the iPhone, and so I was researching other things that could wake me up or have an insomnia problem.
Like, please let it not be that.
right. So I spent the whole night researching this, and I came across this website called StopSmartMeters.org over in California. Yeah. And somebody had posted some good information from the Defense Intelligence Agency. And I was reading these military papers and they looked legit, they looked legit. So that morning I called SRP and I asked them to take the smart meter off the side of my house. And she said, "I'm sorry, sir. That's just how we've got to, that's how we do it now." And she said, "Well, why do you want it taken off?" I said, "I think it's waking me up." She said, "Well, we'll send a tech over to see if it's malfunctioning or see if it's making a noise or something." And I said, "No, you're going to have to send this tech over at like 3 o'clock in the morning. Can you do that?" And so she said, "No, I'm sorry. We can't do that." And blah, blah, blah. And I got off the phone feeling like this is hurting me and I've got to do something about it. So I started researching, and my research it never stopped, really. I bought these printers. They were cheap because they weren't wireless anymore, these HP printers. And I was able to print off boxes of information. There's like over 20,000 studies on this stuff on RF and on, And that was from the military, the Navy, NASA, and just a bunch of other different studies that have been, or papers that have been written all over the world. Mm-hmm. Well, the fight went on, and I was talking to SRP, and they were, we were going back and forth, and a budsman got involved, and she said, "Well, you had a smart meter back at your house over on this other street that I used to live on." Mm-hmm. And I had been living at this place for 8 years. And when I got divorced back in 2003 and on my home that I'd moved into in 1999, I believe, I was part of a pilot program. Mm-hmm. And we were waking up at the same time with the kids. And I thought it was the kids would wake up screaming at 3:12, 3:15 in the morning. I thought to myself, how do these kids wake up at this time of night, every night? Yeah. And my health just went downhill. When you're not sleeping, my mouth was one of the first problems. I had a lot of root canals and bleeding gums and gained a lot of weight. My hair was falling out. And I was, like 30 years old, and I just felt like dying. I remember going to the doctor saying, "Something is wrong with me." And he, did a stethoscope on me, and he said, "You're as healthy as a horse." He said, "If all my patients were like you, I wouldn't have any patients." And I thought, wow, he doesn't know what he's talking about, because I feel horrible. So anyway, I was part of a pilot program back then, and that meter was not on my bedroom wall. That was far away from bedroom wall. Right. So it doesn't have to be on your bedroom wall.
Yeah.
So it took 9 months for me contacting the media, contacting attorneys, just spending every waking hour. I did a neighborhood survey, and all these other people were having the same issues, waking up at the same time. And I didn't even mention that time. And I grew up in that neighborhood. I'm the oldest of 11. So there were 7 houses that were immediate family. So I was comfortable, of course, talking with them, and other people in the neighborhood knew me. So at the end of the conversation, I would say, "Well, they installed smart meters on my home." So I tried to do it as non-biased as possible. I went out and bought a meter. It was a very basic, it was a gigahertz solutions, 38B, and it was directional. And so I could point this thing anywhere and find that, this thing was sending off a signal. Well, there were people online that said, well, you have a cell phone and it's much more powerful than this meter. And I thought, you know, you're right. They're right. Mm-hmm. One day, I think my meter was on and it was pointing towards an outlet. And I had read something about RF traveling on energized wiring. Mm-hmm. And it went off, even though I had my smart meter covered with aluminum foil like four or five times. I had the back of the wall covered. I wasn't even sleeping in that bedroom anymore. Mm-hmm. And I was still having issues. Well, going back to 9 months later, I was in a restaurant called The Good Egg over on Central Camelback. It isn't there anymore. And I had a conversation with a hostess there. I was a regular there. My parents were regulars. And she complained about waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning and how she was tired. And so I started going in on how, you know, the smart meter, blah, blah, blah. Sure. It was dumping data at that time.
Yep. Oh, wow. Is that when it always dumps data for everybody?
No, they changed it. They've switched it up a little bit since we called them out on it.
Oh, yeah. So now you can't pinpoint it quite as
right, well. Right. Sometimes it's 4 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes, you know, it's midnight, but it seems to be every 4 to 6 hours, it has to dump data because if they lose power, that data isn't saved. It has to be saved somewhere.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. So, I was in there talking, to this hostess and these two ladies were listening in on my conversation and they stopped me and they said, we couldn't help but hear about waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning and we were having the same problem. We were just talking about it. And I told them, you know, it was from the utility and this and that. And she looked at her friend and she said, wait till Dave hears about this. And I thought, oh, well, Dave, whatever. Well, as she was leaving, she said, oh, Dave, by the way, is my brother. He's the president of SRP.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so yeah.
That escalated quickly.
Very quickly. Very shortly, I was able to get that meter taken off the side
Fabulous.
Of my house.
Oh, that was such a God thing. That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Very cool. In the meantime, I'm wondering if this is really the problem. I've never been camping before. So I went and bought, you know, a tent and sleeping bag and everything. And I'm driving up into the forest and sleeping out there, feeling amazing. Mm-hmm. And then coming back and feeling like garbage. I had tinnitus. I had hair loss. I had muscle cramps in my legs in the middle of the night. I had acid reflux. I had heart palpitations. I had MS symptoms where my arms, you know, weren't moving right. I had dementia. My memory loss was incredible. I couldn't remember where I put my keys. It was just so frustrating. Depression, you know, I definitely felt like, should I just end it? would never think of that today, of course. But it was traumatic. And so I started shutting the power off to my house. Okay. And every morning I would wake up feeling like $1 million. And I thought, wow, this is incredible. I haven't felt this good since I was a kid. And so one night or one morning I woke up and I felt like garbage again. I thought, oh, I'm on the wrong track. This isn't real. Because I'm going into this with a 50-50 thing. I'm not sold on it because I have a family member that's a doctor. And he said, you know, you need to just go get your head checked. You know, this couldn't be real. And so anyway, I woke up feeling like garbage and I found that I hadn't turned all the breakers off to the house.
Wow. So it's not even just to your bedroom. You had to turn it off to the whole house in order to.
Right. Well, so if we were to rip out take the drywall off every one of your walls, ceilings, and sometimes floors, you'd see wire. There's wire everywhere. We're just living in this cage of wire. They're everywhere. And so when the electrician goes to install, you know, outlets and everything, he wants to use the shortest distance possible because wire is expensive, right? There's copper in there and everything. And so, you know, it's not just run along one side of the house, right? It's just this web. Well, that radiates 6 to 8 feet from, you know, the wiring in the wall or from your drywall. It doesn't just stay in there. It's not a shielded wire.
Sure. Huh.
So in an office it is.
So I'm wondering, I have a Gauss meter that I've just started trying to learn how to use. If the Gauss meter, like let's say, because you're saying 6 to 8 feet, if the smart meter, let's say, is on the opposite side of the house, and if you move like a foot or so away from it, it's no longer blinking, that there's a magnetic field problem. It sounds like it's still a problem. Or if you're in the middle of a room where it's not giving you alerts and it's not blinking, it's still potentially a problem depending on level of sensitivity. Is that true?
No. So first of all, you're measuring it wrong.
Oh, okay.
Incorrectly.
All right.
So magnetic field meters, there are a dime a dozen. They're all over the internet.
Okay.
And I only use a magnetic field meter to find a problem.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
Like if the wires aren't, doing what they should be, I should say, not, without getting into it too technical.
Sure.
When you separate the return pathway away from the load, there's going to be a magnetic field.
Okay. Okay.
Right. But the electric field is what I look for in a home. I don't really pay attention to magnetic fields.
Well,
the utility will pay attention to magnetic fields all day long because they can't be taken to court.
Uh-huh.
Right. Because magnetic fields, they've got these studies that say, oh, magnetic fields are bad, but they never check the power quality in these labs. And then they had other studies saying magnetic field was, it wasn't the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So it's inconclusive.
Interesting. So, and all of them also measure the electric field in the RF as well. So if you're looking at those to say, like, is there a number at which you say electric field is okay below this, the RF below this, EMF below this? Do you have like a rule of thumb?
Yeah. So I use to measure electric fields properly, I use a $2,000 meter.
Okay.
Yeah. That's just for electric fields and magnetic fields. You're right.
Sure. Okay. Wow. So you just have to have the right tools in order to really know if something's a problem.
Yeah. They're expensive. Yeah. I bring about 10 grand worth of equipment out to a property and I couldn't do my job without them.
Sure. Okay. So, and sorry, I kind of jumped ahead a little bit here, but
it's okay.
People an idea of, so you've listed off a whole bunch of symptoms that people can look at, but they're all fairly general.
Yeah.
So it could be caused by so many different things. How does somebody know if the reason why they're waking up at 3 in the morning is because of the EMF, or they're having headaches, or they're having, all the variety of extra symptoms? Is there a way that somebody can narrow this down as a possible root cause?
Yeah. Shut all the power down to their house.
See what happens.
And then turn off your cell phone and
All right. Yeah.
Go live out in a cave.
Yeah, get off the grid. Yeah, and see what happens.
Right, but because the grid, it's not just the electric field from the wiring in the wall.
Right.
Sometimes it's traveling through the floor. Sometimes it's propagating through the air. They're close to one of those radio towers.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Along the I-10.
Sure.
Down there, those big long towers, the energy from those,
right.
They're pumping out 50,000 watts. Can you imagine living just a couple of blocks from that?
So, that brings up a good question. So let's say somebody shuts off the power to their whole house, but they're right next to a cell phone tower. They're not going to feel better, right?
Probably not. Probably not. So camping.
Yeah.
You know,
okay. Got it.
But then again, camping, sometimes you're not in the right spot. I've been out in the woods testing and the numbers were off the charts. So you just don't know unless you have the equipment, but you sure can, give it a good try.
Got it. Okay. So, and speaking of the cell phone towers, is there an easy way for people to figure out if they're near one? Like maybe somebody doesn't know, is there a site that they can go to find out?
Antenna Search is a good site.
Antenna Search. Okay.
Yeah.
Link to that in the show notes. And also speaking of cell phone towers, when did 5G actually roll out in Tucson? Do we know?
Oh, I went to meetings for 5G in Tucson, I think in 2019 I was going to meetings. Yeah.
Okay. So that means it was already out, or that was like the precursor?
They were starting to roll the towers out then. So 5G can use a whole host of different frequencies. They can use 900 megahertz, 800 megahertz, 700 megahertz. These are these are signals that our cell phones use today. 1.3 gigahertz. It's not the carrier wave that's the problem. It's the information within that wave. And that was found back in the 90s. Dr. George Carlo, he was in charge of a $28.5 million cell phone study. And he found that it's the information that's the problem. It's not the carrier waves. So I know there are a lot of people out there focused on that carrier wave, but the carrier wave of 5G, this 20 gigahertz and everything else, it doesn't penetrate the skin. But the frequencies that the information on there, they do. Your skin doesn't protect you from that. So it's so, not just those small site stuff. It's the whole generation. 5G means fifth generation.
Right. But it's everywhere now. What do people do to try to get away from this?
Yeah. Yeah. I had to move off grid.
Did. Yeah. So there's the cell phones, there's the electric fields that are running through potentially the walls, but certainly the sockets, things that you plug in. What are some other common sources of EMF that you find that need to be remediated for people?
Sometimes it's just radio towers, you know, FM, AM radio stations, ground current. So that's going to be, a lot of people are getting into this earthing, where you connect yourself to the ground or a sheet to the ground outlet in your wall or out into the earth. And I can put my oscilloscope into the earth, connect my probes and show you voltage and frequencies all day long. The military uses the earth as a conductor for their submarines, for them to.
So are you referring to just the Schumann resonance? Or are you talking about like extra current that the power company dumps into the ground?
Right. Well, the electric company, they produce 60 hertz.
Okay.
And 60 hertz is the frequency. They're good at that. Now, the smart meters, they produce other frequencies like 25 kilohertz, 50 kilohertz.
Okay.
We took this before the Arizona Corporation Commission in a rate case back in 2017, and brought in Sam Milham, MD, MPH, along with an electrical engineer that was certified in many courts to show that the smart meter was producing these frequencies, these kilohertz frequencies. Pool pumps, variable speed pool pumps create them. CFL light bulbs, LED light bulbs, pretty much everything today that's energy efficient, solar, all produce these frequencies. Well, the neutral on the utility side is overloaded because they have two incoming most of the time and then one outgoing. Well, kilohertz frequencies can only be stopped by shielded wires.
Okay.
So that cable, to give you an idea of why they're or how they're shielded, that cable that comes in from the wall to your modem, you know, it's like it's got braided aluminum through it. There's one little copper wire in the middle. If it didn't have that shielding on there, that would be propagating out and could be possibly distorting pictures on your monitors and things like that because it's so strong.
Okay. And is that dirty electricity that you're referring to or something different?
Yeah, it's dirty electricity. Electricity or supraharmonics.
Okay.
So we don't have, there's not a government agency to protect you from anything lower than 150 kilohertz. So the FCC looks at it, anything above 150 kilohertz, whereas everything below it, below 100 kilohertz, is being used to create nerve block.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and the mechanism for that, and I sent you the paper for that, is the opening of potassium and sodium ion channels or inactivation of them. Okay. And they use kilohertz frequencies. Okay. So those go internal. Your skin doesn't protect you from dirty electricity, but it does protect you from 60 hertz. And I might be getting a little complicated there in that explanation, but clean electricity is fine, right? Sure. It's used in therapy. 60 hertz is used in therapy. Mm-hmm. So it's the stuff that, you know, the dirt or the static that rides within that 60 hertz field is the issue.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so back to the issue of grounding. Are you in favor of like the grounding mats and things like that or not? Do you see those as
okay. I have many clients that have become sick from this.
I was wondering about that. And why is that? What's the
Because point? They're connecting to a circuit.
Okay.
So the earth is a pathway for electricity and frequencies. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can put my oscilloscope in there all day long and show you voltage and show you frequencies. It's not zero. The earth is not zero. Now, you're probably seeing people out there with multimeters and they attach one probe to the earth and they attach one to their hand and then they step on it and they say, look, it went to zero. The multimeter went to zero. Well, that's not a scientific measurement at all. It's not found in any scientific literature, except for the earthing people and then these EMF people that have just adopted it. Mm-hmm. If the earth was 120 volts, mm-hmm. okay, and you had a probe in your hand and you touched the same 120 volts, it would show zero. Mm-hmm. But you would have 120 volts in you.
Sure. Okay. But the idea behind earthing, even with aside from the mats, if somebody mm-hmm. just goes out and is barefoot on the mm-hmm. earth, mm-hmm. is that fine if you're off grid? Like that's a good thing in general, right?
It's less out here, but I still have 100 millivolts in there and I see frequencies of 24, 23 kilohertz and things there. Like I see biologically active frequencies out in the middle of nowhere. The only time you're going to really feel good is when you're at the beach, and that's because electricity and frequencies can't flow through sand.
Interesting. Okay. Right. So, and you talked a little bit about the idea of the sodium and potassium channels. So those mm-hmm. potentially get disrupted. Calcium channels get disrupted. Those are the main mechanisms that I know of by which EMF causes problems in the body. Am I missing mm-hmm. anything? Is there anything else that it potentially?
Well, you're disrupting the sig. Yeah. When that, so the NIHS produced a paper in 1998, I believe. It's called the EMF Rapid Report. Mm-hmm. And in it, it says that just 1 millivolt per meter of internal electric fields mm-hmm. affect the cell. They affect the cellular transduction pathways. Mm-hmm. The 2013 Nobel Prize winners found that when you do that, you have immunological disorders, neurological diseases, and diabetes. Mm-hmm. That's what they found. When you disrupt the cell, when you disrupt that communication in the cell, you mm-hmm. get those issues. And across the board, that's what I see. When I see internal electric fields being produced within the body,
it's disruption.
You're going to see all sorts of problems.
And does this translate to labs in any way? Like, so do people who have high electric field sensitivity EMF sensitivity tend to show up with particular abnormalities in labs that you've been able to find, or is it mostly subjective from trial and error to see when you feel better?
Well, I think it's trial and error. Inflammation is probably sure. one of the number one things. And then diabetes. I remember I did a house in Tucson. Mm-hmm. There were twins and one of them had type 1 diabetes. Mm-hmm. He had measured his sugar level before I got there and it was 400. When I got through and I had all the power off, it dropped down to 68.
Wow.
Yeah. He had taken an insulin shot and he almost fainted. So yeah, it takes about 45 minutes for the blood to change from what I'm told. And so a lot of people will take their labs in a different environment. Where I recommend people having somebody come to your house and draw blood there at your house, draw Wait. Blood in your environment.
And specifically, so if somebody doesn't have diabetes, for example, we might potentially see that the glucose is creeping up, it sounds like, even if somebody isn't officially diabetic. Is that accurate or no?
It seems, well, everybody's made differently, right? And so some people are weak in different areas.
So it's whatever you think is, that's what blows.
Yeah. Somebody might have prostate cancer. Mm-hmm. And so I've seen PSA numbers go from 12 to zero in 90 days. And that's because they went in 90 days later and had it tested.
So, and then how does EMF sensitivity kind of dovetail with like chemical sensitivity, for example, or chronic infections? Are those related in any way that you've seen?
Well, I think that whenever you disrupt the communication within the cell, you're all sorts of bad things are going to happen, and you do it for a long enough period of time. And, you know, I've been up to Snowflake, Arizona, where there are a lot of people up there with chemical sensitivity, and they didn't have dirty electricity. They didn't have any RF. They didn't have any magnetic fields, but they had ground current, and they had some, they had high, high harmonics, from the power grid. They're all on 40 acres and just the way their houses were set up. I couldn't handle being in them for more than an hour. And so these people just continue to be sicker and sicker and sicker and sicker. And they got rid of all the wood and they got metal throughout their house. And there's electrons in that metal and it's just a matter of it flowing. So conductive surfaces are hard too. So I've seen people chase mold or chemical sensitivity with metal because mold won't grow on it, or they have it super clean and actually be doing themselves a
more of a disservice.
A huge disservice.
So, okay. Can you revisit the idea of the ground current? This, it sounds like you were saying that the electricity is because there's a step up, step down, like there's transition, I think between the 60 hertz that the power company is actually producing that has to get transformed and then somehow they can't return it. Is that what's going on, that it gets dumped into the ground?
Poor return pathway, yes. Okay. So it's a poor return pathway. So if you were to look up neutral to earth voltage on YouTube, you'll see Mike Holtz talk about it in greater depth. But yeah, there's it's just overload. It's like a, think of electricity as water, like water. Clean water, fine. But you drink dirty water, go down to Mexico and drink dirty water, you're going to get sick.
Sure.
So clean electricity, dirty electricity. And now the pipes are all clogged up and it overflows. And so it's like sewage and it's just all throughout the base of your house and in the earth and everywhere. Mm-hmm. In some areas, it varies.
Yeah. So even if somebody is already kind of like living in the boondocks and they don't see any cell towers anywhere nearby, there can still be a problem with the ground current as well. And you're not going to know that unless you have somebody measure. Is that true?
It happened to me. And how I know this is because it happened to me. For the first 4 years, I just chased magnetic fields and RF and dirty electricity. That's all I chased.
Right.
And it wasn't until I was on the on a Zoom call with Dave Stetzer. And he was teaching me how to use an oscilloscope because I was using it to show the world basically the smart meters were producing dirty electricity. And he said, go hook this up to the sink. And I did. And I sent him the waveforms. He said, I would not spend one night in that house. He said, you could have a heart attack.
Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah. Because just as little as 80 microamps can cause ventricular fibrillation.
My goodness.
So you have amps, you have milliamps, and then you have microamps. So just this tiny little bit of current.
And that's
right. When you're touching something that's grounded, especially when you're touching something that's grounded, like your sink or your refrigerator or even your computer sometimes because of the cord, because it's grounded to the wall, you can have a huge amount of current travel through your body.
Okay. So let's say somebody suspects they're EMF sensitive, they get off the grid, they go camping, or they shut off the breakers to the whole house and they feel better. What are the steps? Do they then contact somebody like you, a building biologist, to come in and try to make their space clean? Like what do they do now?
I'm not a building biologist.
Oh, you're not. Okay.
No. I went to their school. I went to their school and they wanted me to perform the next class. The last class was something that, you know, involved like a seance type of a thing. And I'm a Christian.
Okay.
And so I'm not having anything to do with that. And,
sure.
And so I followed what they were teaching, and they're very heavy on magnetic fields.
Okay.
They don't use oscilloscopes. they just started using oscilloscopes. And
can you define that for me? What is an oscilloscope?
Sure. So that's just a, if you're an electrical engineer, and you want to present something in court, like Dave Stetzer. Dave Stetzer used 30,000 cows. He had them hooked up to oscilloscopes, and he proved within a shadow of doubt, went all the way to the Supreme Court level, that the ground current was affecting the milk production and the health of the cows.
Wow. Okay.
And the dairy farmers themselves felt so much better. But anyway, it measures frequency and voltage.
Okay. Got it. Yeah. All right. So, and then, so you're saying that if you kind of got told me that you're not a building biologist, but
right.
Somebody is really EMF sensitive. They discover camping makes them feel great. Turning off the breakers in the house makes them feel great. Now what? What do they do?
Boy, just keep living that way.
keep living off grid as much as possible.
Right. You know, just keep, you know, sure. that's the best advice I can give, but I know it's difficult. You know, it took me a long time to get away from the convenience of Starbucks and, you know, the grocery store just being a hop, skip and a jump away. So, but what I do is I go into the house and I don't want to tell everybody to move. But I want to show them what they can do to lower their exposure.
Okay.
It's some things that these people are doing. It's very evident when you show them on an oscilloscope. Oh, look, this is what you're doing. This is what the scope is showing. This is how we can stop this. For instance, give you an example, a MacBook, right? Apple MacBook. It's all metal. Frequencies are right there. There's nothing to keep those frequencies from going into your body. So a lot of people are touching these things, right? Mm-hmm. They're all connected via the Ethernet. Mm-hmm. They think that they're doing the right thing, but in fact, they're actually doing the opposite. I mean, they are creating internal electric fields that are through the roof. So I see a lot of people that are sensitive using MacBooks or using metal laptops. Mm-hmm. What would I do? I would simply hook up a plastic keyboard to that and a plastic mouse that's wired.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then do you also recommend, because I've noticed that the newer generations of laptops don't come with grounded plugs. Does that matter?
So a grounded plug is just going to put whatever's at the panel into you. So the ground, you know, that little circle thing on the outlet, mm-hmm. the ground, part of the outlet or the receptacle,
yep,
ends up at the same place as the left spade. So the left spade and the ground, if we follow that all the way back to your panel, they would be connected together there. And then we could go out to the transformer and they would be connected there. So the ground is just an overload.
Okay.
It's not supposed to be, but it's another current carrying conductor.
So it's theoretically supposed to keep things from sparking and burning down, but it doesn't protect you. Is that the bottom line?
No, okay. No, your exposure will go way up if you start plugging yourself into that ground wire.
Really? Okay. So two prongs is better than three. Is that the case?
Pardon me?
Two prongs, like in a plug, is better than three prongs?
No, it doesn't matter. Just don't connect yourself to it.
Okay. Don't plug it in. Use it on battery power. Is that better?
That's the best.
That's the best. Okay. Good to know. Okay. So, and some other like practical tips, let's say that somebody isn't as massively sensitive as you unfortunately turned out to be when all of this began for you. But theoretically, I mean, we're surrounded by EMF everywhere and it's affecting all of us to some degree. So some other practical things, like use your computer on battery power if you must, and use the plastic keyboard and plastic mouse. What are some other things that just everybody can do to keep themselves as protected as they can without necessarily moving and getting way off grid?
Well, I love Stetzerizer filters.
Okay.
I use them first.
And those are dirty electricity filters?
Yeah. They get the frequencies that go internal to the body out of the electric field, most likely. But a lot of times people will say, oh, they made me feel worse. And then you go out there to the house and they used four and they were all in their bedroom.
Okay.
You've got to do the entire house.
Oh, well, why would it make you feel worse if you do one room as opposed to multiple? You'd still think that would be a net positive, right?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I know that I'm seeing in those nerve block papers the same frequencies as what's in the wall. So are they experiencing nerve block frequencies? Are they, because I used to wake up with numb hands. And that's how I got into this looking for why is this affecting my nerves? Because my hands would both be numb and I wasn't laying on them. So maybe it makes you feel good. Some people say, oh, when I plug into the ground wire, I feel better. Maybe they're getting some nerve block. I don't know. I don't know.
So you're a fan of the dirty electricity filters. Do you feel like somebody needs to measure the level of dirty electricity before they do those or
Oh
no?
yeah, they might. Yeah, definitely. And you can't say, well, it was the dirty electricity that, or it was, you know, these made things worse. I've been to homes where they had a radio tower, you know, not that far away, and I was measuring that much higher than even their electric field. And I told them beforehand, these filters aren't going to help you.
Got it. Okay.
Right.
So it's not, if you, it just depends on whether you're treating the right thing, basically.
Yeah, if you don't get rid of those frequencies, you're not going to get results.
Yep, that makes
Now,
perfect.
you've got to get them off. They've got to go. And that's the first thing I do, whereas
Get
other
out.
people, other experts say, oh no, that's the last thing you should do, and then you shouldn't use them. And I know because I've been to homes where they were using, you know, the customer was using me and somebody else, and I've
You could
seen what they
compare
do. And then
that.
when it doesn't work, then when they don't get results, they offer them pendants and geopathic stress, and you have to heal the earth and maybe throw some bones around or something, you know, some crazy, crazy stuff. Because they do look at these people as if they're crazy sometimes. I've listened to them
Sure.
and they aren't. They're feeling something. The exposure is there. It's just you can't blame something else when you don't know how to measure properly or when you're not doing your job.
Right. So, and along those lines, I'm not sure whether this is along those lines or not, but the stickers, you've seen all the stickers that say block the, they don't work, right? Okay.
No.
I didn't
They
think
call it subtle I don't know. You'd have to go to the website and see their paper on it, on their position on it, whatever. Subtle things or the subtle energy. Yeah, subtle energy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So
So now these people have a sticker on their phone and they put on their computer and they're safe when they're hurting themselves.
problem that makes
Now they've taken their advice and they put a grounding sheet on their bed. And they're getting the voltage, you're getting all this exposure at night. It's getting worse. So you have a good customer, right? You go out there every 6 months or something and you go heal the earth or whatever. My job, you don't really make that much money doing what I'm doing, because if you can get the job done right the first time, you're never back.
You never see him again.
Unless they move,
Right.
right? Or
Sure.
unless they move or something happened, like they bought something, you know, like I've seen little transformers that were off brand for your phone, and they created horrible dirty electricity throughout the house. Just one little wall wart, they call them wall warts, destroyed the whole environment. So I've been out there for that,
Right, those sorts
where
of
they've
things.
added something. Yeah.
And another thing I've read about a little bit here and there, are ferrite beads. Do you have an opinion on these? Do they do anything as far as attenuation of EMF?
Yeah,
No.
they don't do anything for my equipment. Nothing.
Okay, got it. What about EMF blocking clothing or some of those like Faraday things for the bed? Are those useful at all?
Well, I used a, and I don't have to anymore, but if I'm in the city,
You're in the
I
environment,
love
yeah.
those Swiss Shield canopies. They're awesome. They've got silver in them. But again, they're a conductive surface. So if you don't totally eliminate the electric field within 8 to 10 feet of that, you're not going to get results. And then sometimes the energy is so high that you've got to have either another canopy that's away from it, or maybe some paint on a wall that's absorbing some of that energy, because they'll spark when you touch them. So now people are being told to go wear this conductive surface on their body. Well, there's what happens when they go into an electric field and they're wearing a conductive surface.
So it can actually make things worse.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Interesting.
I tell all my clients to wear cotton. Mm-hmm. Cotton isn't conductive. It doesn't create static. So whenever you're creating static with polyesters and nylons and things like that, you are creating a charge in your body, and you're a capacitor. Mm-hmm. You can hold, I think they said you can store up to 3,000 volts.
Goodness.
And they've measured to where they're still finding voltage in a body, mm-hmm. even in the morning. So I tell everybody to take a shower before going to bed, or stand on some aluminum foil and dissipate that charge that you built up throughout the day. Mm-hmm. So, even when you wake up in the middle of the night due to a data dump, have some aluminum foil right there and just put them up on the bed, put your feet on it, and mm-hmm. dissipate that charge that you just built up in your body. And that's what grounding was supposed to do, but you don't need to do that. But yeah, if you research how to dissipate a capacitor, you just put a piece of metal between the two leads, and that's your feet. And
mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah. So what have I not asked you that you want to make sure you leave with our audience?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
That's just my catch-all question. You don't have to have an answer.
Well, ask me anything. Yeah. Too bad we didn't have any callers or anything.
Sure.
Right?
I know. I'm sure there's lots of extra questions that we've generated. So speaking of which, where can people go to learn more about you and contact you if they want to?
Well, my website's totalemfsolutions.com. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I do travel, all over the country, worldwide. Mm-hmm. That would be the best. If they had somebody on the East Coast, I would contact Dave Stetzer.
Okay.
He's really good. This guy spent a lifetime in this industry. He was making really good money over at the utility companies back East. And when he got into helping people with these filters, he lost all of his employees except two or three. He had like 20. Wow. And he devoted his life, and he lost a lot of money making these filters. Now, there are others out there, mm-hmm. and I think they're inferior. I pulled them apart, and I've just seen how they're made, and they just copied him. They weren't electrical engineers. Mm-hmm. And then when you are measuring dirty electricity, make sure you get a Stetzerizer microsurge meter.
Okay.
He's helped me out so much. I wouldn't have been able to get results in my life without him and his work. And Dr. Sam Milham, MD, MPH, spent a lifetime, again, researching electricity, dirty electricity. He's written over 200 papers on this stuff. I give them the credit. I'm just standing on their shoulders. And Professor Martin Graham, or Dr. Martin Graham, professor out of Berkeley, he's passed away. Brilliant guy. He's has 48 technical patents. Mm-hmm. And these are things that we use in everyday mm-hmm. appliances and computers, how we get internet over a phone line. I think one of his patents is for the guidance system for the ICBM missile, part of it, the spirometer. Yeah. And these guys, they did all the work, and I got to meet him. I got to meet Sam Milham mm-hmm. when we hired him for a case as an expert witness here at the Arizona Corporation Commission. Oh yeah. Get your smart meter taken off.
Get your smart meter taken off. Yes.
Right. You can do that in most of Arizona. APS, it's $5 a month. Mm-hmm. Whereas in other parts of the country, either you can't get it taken off, or it's 30 or 40, something ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I got to meet him, and then I got to meet Stetzer, and really just followed their work and followed their advice.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, I will definitely find Dave Stetzer's information, and we'll link to that and to your website in the show notes as well. And thank you. This has been very enlightening and educational for me, and I'm sure for a lot of our listeners as well. I appreciate it.
Well, I hope so. Yeah, I hope this helps everybody. Really, I'm not out here to you know, make money. I'm just out here to get the information out. I'm more of an activist first. And it kind of made me, you know, if they had just taken that meter off the side of my house,
then none of this would have happened.
I would have been down the road. Yeah. But it's big. It's a big time problem. We wrote about it in a docket talking about how there's going to be a pandemic, and then COVID came along. And there, you know, it got all the glory, but nobody was talking about how the EMF was or could be a problem. Going back to, and I don't mean to, I know we've got a few minutes here left. So going back to the kilohertz frequencies, just remember they kill and they hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kilohertz, there are thousands of hertz. So going back to the Spanish flu mm-hmm. in 1917, the main carrier wave for wireless, because they had wireless back then, these massive antennas, research it, was like 20 kilohertz, 50 kilohertz, and they were sparking it. They were pulsing it. So whenever you pulse this, it really messes things up. Now, I wasn't there, right? Yeah. But I do, and I have heard of reports of taking blood from a sick person and exposing a healthy person to it, and they couldn't get it to, you know, they couldn't get the same results. So Woodrow Wilson actually signed an executive order at the same time stopping all wireless communications with ham radio operators. And we were in a war back then, so everybody was wondering what the heck is he thinking or doing, and he was a sick president. So now we're in the day of the smart meter, and we're into 5G, and we've got just this exposure everywhere. It takes a while for it to catch up to you, and then when it does, you can't handle a flu.
There's an overload. Yeah, absolutely. I recently read The Invisible Rainbow that was making that point of the correlation between the pandemics and new mm-hmm. release of various different types of wireless technology. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a lot of focus has been on wireless when it's bad, but it's the least of the exposure. An electric field in a house, mm-hmm. to give you an example, just 6 volts per meter, which is an average field of electric field, when it's dirty, is equal to 100,000 microwatts per square meter.
Yes. Wow.
So yeah. 6 volts per meter is equal to 100,000. My meter that I have, and it's like a couple of $1,000 meter, mm-hmm. it only goes up to 20,000. And I rarely see it hit that.
Right.
Yeah. So if you don't take care of that, I actually, in a roundabout way, I was in the author's house, mm-hmm. and he didn't like those filters, mm-hmm. and he had some horrible, dirty electricity. Mm. Horrible, dirty electricity. I think that's the thing. Everybody's going after the wireless, mm-hmm. when in fact it's the grid, and you know the. Okay. I'm making a lot of enemies with the most powerful entity on the planet, you know, the utilities. You know, they get their money no matter what, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But people need to know, you know, where they need to start looking. So,
yeah.
Well, thank you, Paul. This has been very, very fascinating and enlightening. I appreciate your time.
Well, thank you for listening, and hopefully it helps.
Yeah, thanks.
Are you looking for a holistically minded healthcare practitioner who truly treats root cause rather than symptom suppression? Unfortunately, even in the alternative healing professions, this isn't a given. That's why I've created wholehealthdoctor.com, a resource to help connect patients to healthcare practitioners in their area who share a root cause philosophy. Alternatively, most of the practitioners listed also practice telehealth. So if there isn't anyone local to you, you can still find a great practitioner to help you regain optimal health. Go to wholehealthdoctor.com. That's wholehealthdr.com. Type in your location or just the specialty that you're looking for and find the practitioner who's right for you.
Thanks for listening to Christian Natural Health. This show is run by you, so please write in with topic and guest suggestions for future shows. For more great content, subscribe to Dr. Lauren's blog at www.drlaurendeville.com or follow her on Facebook or Twitter at Dr. Lauren Deville. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to share it with your friends and give us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It really helps us to stand out so other people can discover great content as well. Have a great week and God bless you.
Have you ever considered yourself a messenger? Whether it's mics like this, bookshelves around the world, stages to take, or art to make, or perhaps businesses to build, it's time we start testifying truth unashamedly, creatively, and in love. My name is Tamara Andrus, the host of the Messenger Movement podcast, which is designed to catalyze Christians to speak, write, build, and testify. If you're ready to turn your message into a movement and want to run with other messengers doing the thing at scale globally, search and follow the Messenger Movement podcast on your favorite podcast platform today or lifeaudio.com.